And Linda Moulton Howe with us. She's got another hour of some stunning stories. And then the last hour, conversations with Linda. We'll take your calls with her. Up next, what's going on the moon? Oh, boy, that'll be next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Linda Moulton Howe with us. Linda, I love stories about the moon. How did you uncover this one?
Well, it was on June 7th, 2016. That was not very long ago. The Albuquerque Journal in New Mexico, I live in Albuquerque, reported this, quote, former National Aeronautics and Space Administration or NASA consultant pilot Ken Johnston today says photos and films from Apollo missions were doctored, close quote, to paint out evidence of extraterrestrial structures and activities on the moon. To date, NASA has always denied manipulating images to hide ETs and UFOs. But the article also said that the Roswell Daily Record has announced that Dr. Ken Johnston, he has a 1980 theology doctorate from the Reformed Baptist Seminary in Denver, Colorado. That's why sometimes there is a doctor. He's actually a doctor of theology. He was announced that to Roswell that he is giving, and I think it's actually taken place, that he's given digital copies of three huge binders of original NASA photographs from the Apollo program to the International UFO Museum and Research Center down in Roswell. Well, 50 years ago, after 4 years in the Marines, and then in 1966, Ken Johnston began working as a what he calls a human test engineer for Apollo mission efforts by the Grumman Aerospace Corporation, and that was in Clear Lake, Texas, near Houston. That's the region that would evolve into the NASA Johnson Space Center, but back then it was the NASA Manned Space Center. And there he would put in some 3,000 hours manning the controls of the Grumman-produced lunar modules that were used in NASA astronaut training in Clear Lake. And that would evolve into more work that he would do off and on, as many people did, going from one position to another position in between and during various flight missions. So it was during the Apollo 14 flight that launched on January 31st, 1971, and returned to Earth on February 6, 1971, that Ken Johnston had a rude awakening from his NASA boss at the time. That was the famous Thornton Page, PhD astronomer, astrophysicist, and member of the infamous Robertson panel from January 1953 that was organized by the Central Intelligence Agency to investigate UFOs and the implications for national security. Astronomer and astrophysicist Thornton Page, PhD, later told reporters that the panel members met informally together with no outsiders before that formal four-day session known as the Robertson Panel on UFOs. So this means that Thornton Page in 1953, George, was already involved in top-secret classified panel discussions about UFOs and aliens for the Robertson.
Way back then, wow.
Yeah, so now from 53 up to 1960s, we're in the Apollo program, and Thornton Page is playing a very important role in Clear Lake in Texas. Now, today, it is assumed that the Robertson panel was deliberately organized for a phony conclusion that UFOs did not present a direct threat to national security, and the panel did not find, quote, any evidence that related the objects cited to cited by people everywhere to, quote, unquote, space travelers. The CIA goal, and they organized the Robertson panel, was to deflect public and media attention away from the UFO phenomenon that our government has been deeply involved in, monitoring since World War II, back engineering extraterrestrial technology, and that has been described by many, many, many sources by now. But our government doesn't want anyone to know the truth. And it's just like painting out UFOs and technology on the moon's surface. Well, Ken Johnson lives in Berlin, just a little south of Albuquerque. So I contacted him, and on June 13th, I drove to his home and office to see his NASA photographs in those big binders and to learn more about his allegation that NASA doctored film and images during Apollo missions. Here now is retired NASA human test engineer Ken Johnston from Berlin, New Mexico.
Shortly after the Apollo 14 flight, Dr. Thornton Page, who was the director of the Lunar Geologists and Scientists, contacted me and says, Ken, would you go to the photo lab and check out reel number such and such? I picked up the reel and made arrangements for a gun sequence camera projector. Now, for those people who don't know what a gun sequence camera is, if you've ever seen any movies where a jet airplane is chasing another and it looks like the shells are going off, that's a camera that takes a picture every time there's a shot. So I was to get the film and then get a gun sequence camera projector and set it up so that I could show it to Dr. Page and six or seven of the other scientists that he had over next to Mission Control at the Johnson Space Center. I did exactly what he said. I set the program up for him, and we were viewing the view from the spacecraft as it's going around the command module, as it's going around the moon on the backside of the moon, approaching crater Tsiolkovsky. The Russians named most of the craters on the backside of the moon, at least all of the big ones, because they got there first, as far as the robotic photographs were. But we're approaching the crater Tsiolkovsky, and the sun angle was such that about half of the crater was in shadow. And in the shadowed portion of the crater, there are five illuminated domes. And I describe it, if you'll take your hand and turn it palm up and bring all of your fingers together, you see five little bubbles there. Well, that's exactly what it looked like in the crater, was five bubbles. And they were illuminated from the inside.
Illuminated from the inside.
Correct. That's where the light was coming from.
Because they're in shadow, there is no sunlight on them, so anything has to be coming from inside.
Correct. And then one of them, it appeared it was like a column of steam that projected straight up. And Dr. Page had me freeze, he had me back up, he had me approach at one frame at a time, and then sometimes two or three frames at a time, the same we would do in analyzing a gun sequence camera projection. So he stopped, he says, okay, freeze. He turned to the other guys and says, well, boys, what do you think of that? And they all laughed as though it was an inside joke. He had to know which film, which reel, and exactly which one to ask for me to show to have had me go and get it.
Dr. Thornton Page, whose position was?
He was the director of the Lunar Science Department in the OGM West Mansion outside of the Johnson Space Center, is where the astronomers and all the scientists that were there, he was the director of that department of NASA in Houston. And I didn't find out till probably 20 years later that Dr. Thornton Page was an advisor to the FBI. He was a dollar a year man, and I just didn't know that at the time.
For our discussion today in June of 2016 and the emerging reality of all kinds of airbrushing, not just on the moon, but on Mars, and a manipulation of public and media perceptions about what orbits our Earth, the moon, what that red planet out there is and has been, the implication from Thornton Page, laughter when he said,
what do you think of that, boys?
He knew these five modules were there. He knew that there was something, we'll call it a non-human presence on the moon.
Okay. Now, Dr. Page told me, okay, go ahead and finish showing. So I finished the showing. This is about a 15-minute reel of 16-millimeter film. And I'm packing it up, and they're all over there laughing and talking, and I'm trying to listen. And Dr. Page says, you know, go and take it back to the photo lab and turn it back in. When I got back to the Johnson Space Center's main photo lab, the front is a front desk, and you can order a particular picture, and it'll come to you. Or you can go in to do research in the inner sanctum room, review things in there with light tables. Or you can have a top secret clearance, which I had, and go in the back. And as I walked in, there's a light table, and it was about 3 foot by 4 foot with opaque top with lights illuminating from the bottom for making sketches or whatever. And there were two men and a woman there. I'm looking up, they have 8 by 10 looks like negatives, and they're painting on them. And I asked them, what are you guys doing? And one of the guys says, oh, we're professional strippers. And the young lady says, well, no, actually what we're doing is we're stripping out, we're painting out along the horizon, the stars and things that might be confusing to other people. That seemed a little strange. I had to go ahead and check that in. And then the next day I was to check out the same reel, take it to the main auditorium and show it to the rank and file. And this was all pre-planned. And I was so excited because I'm thinking, God, we have discovered the existence of aliens on the moon backside. And this is the film that's going to show everybody. And I'm in the auditorium, set it up, and I have my brother, Dr. A.R. Johnston, who was one of the chief engineers at NASA there, sitting beside me in the projection booth. I said, watch it, what we found on Tchaikovsky. And as we're approaching the crater, there's the dark side in there, the same area, and it's totally black. There's no illumination, no lights. I stopped the camera. I told the audience, excuse me, we're having technical difficulties. I took the film out of the camera and I ran it through my gloves, looking. All of the little tracks lined up and there was no evidence that they had cut or spliced it. So within 24 hours, what they had to have done is taken that out, made an enlargement out, fixed it, reduced it back to the side, made a copy of the original. So then I was showing one that had already been fixed. I finished the showing to the rest of the people, and they were excited because, oh, wow, they got to see the backside of the moon, and to them, that was all exciting. And I was devastated because I thought, my God, we're hiding this. I have to take the film back to the photo lab and check it back in, and I did that. And as I walked out over to the lunar laboratory, I ran into Dr. Page. He actually wore a patch over one eye. I said, Dr. Page, what happened to the lights and the domes we saw on the backside of the moon? He looked at me and he gave me a long wink. He says, there was never anything there.
The Tsiolkovsky crater has a 10,498-foot high mountain that rises from the dark, flat crater floor beyond a large, seemingly empty section of the crater. However, it is at that far end of the emptiness, near the bottom of a steep crater wall, that a glow in the shadows can be detected in NASA Apollo 14 frame number AS1475-10301, taken by a high-resolution Hasselblad camera as the astronauts headed back to Earth. That photograph is preserved in the NASA Lunar and Planetary Institute's Moon Photos Archive in Clear Lake, Texas, near Houston. You can also see that same photograph at earthfiles.com in an enlargement of that high-resolution frame that clearly shows a glow in the shadows of the Tsiolkovsky crater's furthest end away from the mountain. And you think that what we're looking at here, that this would be an alien base of these domes.
There's a reason why, and this because this is 1971. We were just barely getting to the moon and landing and being able to get back without, you know, blowing ourselves up.
Let alone constructing what appears to be glowing objects.
Right, right. It had to be some extraterrestrial or non-Earth.
Has anybody said to you, since you've begun putting this out in the DVD, from NASA or from any agency, don't do this?
No, it's too late.
Did you ever sign a non-disclosure agreement?
Only back in 1966, when I first went to work at NASA, we signed a non-disclosure, same as a military. But I was never told, well, this is secret, you can't talk about it. In terms of anything that we did during the Apollo, because Apollo was supposed to be a publicly funded, open to the press operation so that we can do it publicly, whereas the Russians were trying to do it with their military, and we show that we were better than the best. It would appear that there would be more intelligent species on the moon capable of building bases like we've discovered in the photographs that I had in my archive. You would say, who's in charge of the moon?
Yeah, who is in charge?
Those that have the highest technology, not us.
So even the astronauts who knew they were taking photographs of technology, they were denied inside information.
The debriefing that takes place back during Gemini and Apollo was a good 7 days of constant debriefing from professionals. And it was a woman psychiatrist was in charge of debriefing them. And in talking to other psychologists, They said there's evidence that they've been deprogrammed to not be able to talk about things that they saw. I think it's fascinating that Buzz Aldrin now, and I'm going to say he's come out of the closet, and he's talked about the light, the craft that followed them in translunar insertion halfway to the moon. They were being followed. That he and Neil talked about, well, we can't go to Mission Control and say, is there a flying saucer out there, or an unidentified flying object, as he called it. He said, so we'll go and we'll ask what happened to the S-1B, the final launch vehicle that pushed them out of Earth orbit into the lunar coast. And when they did, it was silent for a while on Mission Control. And they came back and says, well, it's about so many thousand miles at this particular angle from you and everything else. And then, of course, Buzz says, well, we thanked them. But it was their way of saying there was something out there that had been following them. Now, he's come forward and said that it was a light. It got close enough. It had size and shape to it and followed them all the way to the moon. Is some kind of craft or something like that. And I've seen numerous pictures of the film around the moon as they would be filming like command module and moving real fast along the surface of the moon. Now, the other ones that I have in my archive, they're tracks coming down the side of a mountain and over along the bottom side of where it's smooth and then branch going off the other way that look very much like caterpillar type tracks or vehicles that have been moving along the lunar surface.
What a great story, Linda.
Well, this is, and George, here is a quote from Buzz Aldrin on July 29th, 2015, just about 1 year ago. And it's worth hearing in the sense that Ken Johnson is making a very important point that Neil Armstrong never said anything, and he died taking all these secrets that he had to the grave. And in the last year, Buzz Aldrin has been speaking out some, and here is a direct quote from an interview that he did with Atlantic Productions Limited a year ago. Quote, even though we have always known of this possibility of aliens on the moon, the fact is that they, aliens, have ordered us to turn away from the moon. There are structures on the moon that are not ours. I can only say that their ships were superior to ours, both in size and technology. Wow, they are big and menacing. Close quote. Buzz Aldrin, July 29, 2015. And the last time he was on the moon was in July of 1969. And I think that we all should take those words very seriously and know that these astronauts have been either exposed quite a ways or just a tiny bit, and that it's true that Neil Armstrong, that the last video frames as the lander was coming down and there was that sudden turn and all the dust, and you heard the NASA control say that there was a rock. And the truth, remember, it was just a month ago that I had on William Mills Tompkins, Navy engineer, said that he has seen with his own eyes the photograph of the three big silver disks on the edge of the crater. And he added the idea of three reptilian humanoids there. And I haven't found anybody who has seen that photo, but I have talked with a lot of people who said they have knowledge about the three large silver disks. When Neil Armstrong's foot touched the surface of the moon, something wanted the humans to know, we're already here, we own this place, and you're just visiting. And remember when Ken said, the understanding was that, like Neil Armstrong and like Buzz Aldrin, somebody wanted us not to come back.
I've always heard that too, Linda. We'll be back with more on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Linda Moulton Howe with us with another great segment here. And again, we're back on the moon for this one, Linda?
That's right. It is another eyewitness to the NASA photo lab painting and airbrushing evidence of an alien presence in their images from the different astronaut missions on the moon. And her name is Donna Hare. She was born in Houston, Texas in 1945, is now 70. After graduating from Jesse Jones High School in 1965, she applied for work in what was then a really rapidly growing aerospace industry around the Apollo program. And in 1967, she was hired by Philco Ford Aerospace in Houston to work as a technical publications illustrator and designer. So this was off-site subcontractor work for NASA. And she did this for some 15 years, working on manuals for the astronauts. Eventually, she would also do freelance work in NASA's photo lab in what was called Building 8. That is where, twice, she was surprised to see first a female technician holding a negative of an alien object on the moon's surface from Apollo Mission 10. The NASA frame was AS-10-32-48-11, and the woman was painting out an unidentified object with a thick black ink-like substance on the negative. On another day, also in NASA's Building 8, she talked with a man who was airbrushing a white oval craft out of Earth's sky. Ken Johnson referenced me to Donna, and she agreed to speak on the record for Earth Files and Coast. At NASA in the 1960s, she said, photo lab techs were always talking about the rumors of aliens and UFOs on the moon. Here now from Austin, Texas, is Donna Hare.
People in the know all told me, off-site especially, there is a cover-up. They'll tell me, we can't talk about it. There's so many things. Either tell them they can't get their retirements, or they can't do this, or they can't do that, or they're not patriotic, or they've signed papers of non-disclosure, or this could cause panic. There's so many reasons that they give these people not to talk. Now, for me, the reason I talk, I was never debriefed not to talk about UFOs because they didn't expect me to see them. Because where I worked was in the Philco building off-site, and occasionally would work on-site in Building 8. So I basically slipped through the cracks. Where I worked, it was in the photo lab. And where I've seen the pictures being opaqued out, or the negatives worked on, I've had two experiences of seeing a UFO or advanced technology being covered up. I witnessed it. But I never did physically do it. I never did that. The one time that I worked, I'm sure, on the Department of Defense work, I and three other people in a room where only four drafting tables sit in there, were guards at the door. We couldn't take paper in and out.
Which facility?
I'm at the main Philco Ford building, off-site at JSC. We were one of the contractors for NASA.
And this was Johnson Space Center in Houston.
Right. But we weren't allowed to know what that job was for. It was so secret. I mean, I drew wiring schematics and put numbers in it, and I have no clue what the wiring looked like, really. It was from manuals for the Department of Defense.
Do you mean that it was so compartmentalized that you could be working on sections that were going into some sort of an instruction book, but you wouldn't have any idea about what because it was so segmented and compartmentalized?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And the things that I found out were accidental. The first incident that happened, I was over in Building 8, which is the photo lab. During downtime in Building 8, I wanted to learn how to airbrush in Building 8. I had a small lab. I went down to the lab next to me, and I found out that the lady in there was an older woman doing the airbrushing. Well, she was sitting at the drafting table. I told her what I was wanting to do is learn what she was doing, if that was possible, and she was very nice. She had a negative of the moon's surface with this bar. She was taking a snub-nosed paintbrush, and the opaque is a very thick, thick ink-like. It's not ink in the sense that it's black, but it's very thick for the negatives. And she was going around in a circle, covering this object up on the moon. There was nothing around it except this object, and she pulled her arm down to let me see it. I realized it was a foreign object on the moon. The lady was taking out an object on the moon on a negative.
So was she painting on the negative?
Yes, she was painting on the negative.
Donna, what did this foreign object look like in detail?
Well, the part I saw being covered up was a bar that was like curved, a curved bar. And Ken has sent me a picture since then. It's the object I saw being covered up. I walked out of there thinking about it, and not too long after that, I went across the hallway because that's where they would process film from the moon. I went over there, and the next gentleman that was in Building 8 across from me, he was working on what is called a mosaic. It was just a huge mosaic of about, I guess they're like 12-inch pictures square that are put together to form a larger picture. Now, I'm sure this was for an outside vendor, probably not NASA. It was during downtime, and I was looking. It was a black and white photograph, and it was very clear, an aerial. I don't know if it was a satellite or if it was a low-flying plane, but it was very detailed. I was really up close at the table looking down, and the gentleman drew my attention to one of the pictures, and he said, "Look at that." And I said, "Oh, is that a bubble on the emulsion?" Because it's a round white disc-like thing. He says, "Bubbles on the emulsion don't leave round shadows on the ground." And I looked again, and I looked at him, and I said, "Is that a UFO?" And he said, "I can't tell you that." And he's grinning. And so he didn't say no. He didn't say yes or I don't know. He said, "I can't tell you that, that it's a UFO." And so I looked at him, and I said, "What are you going to do with this piece of information?" Because up until then, I always thought, okay, aliens are probably keeping it secret from us. They're coming here. But I never would have guessed we were keeping it secret, too.
Right.
I mean, this was a rude awakening for me that we're keeping it secret because this is a piece of information that's awesome. And he says, "Well, we have to airbrush them out before we sell these to the public." So they had a protocol in place. They do this a lot.
Yeah. What were they taking the photograph on the Earth of the white UFO casting a shadow with?
It was either a satellite picture or a high-flying biplane. I'm not sure which it was.
It was above clouds, and there was a break in the clouds, and you could see a white, round, aerial object casting a shadow.
Right. So these things supposedly go everywhere. They're not, like, restricted.
Did you see the man who was showing you this image paint out the white UFO?
No. With photographs, that's a little different. When you're fixing a negative, it's black and clear. So it's a different method of covering up. Now, photographs, you can match the paint and airbrush out the picture of the mosaic. It's already a photograph. I was interested in finding out more about it. And boy, everything that I heard is rumor. Different people would come and say, "Did you know that they found a structure on the dark side of the moon?" And I said, "Really?" And yeah, there was aliens sitting there. And these were people that worked in higher communications and systems and things that would really know about this stuff. And there's a vast majority of people that work there that never knew. So it's very compartmentalized. That's how they keep it secret.
What kind of aliens did they rumor about being photographed on the backside of the moon?
They talked mainly about craft being there.
What craft that people describe seeing?
Round, circular craft.
Color?
Well, I think they were metal, shiny metal ones. I think there was three of them. Three circular, sitting by a crater. I'm watching them.
Which mission?
Well, at least Apollo 11, I'm sure of. I was told that some of the communications that was given at the time was they did the code word Santa Claus, they switched off and went to a different way of talking, which I think was ham radio. I'm not sure. I think some ham operators got the real scoop on the conversations, but they talked about how the craft were sitting on one side watching us land on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
When they say they, I don't know where these beings are coming from. I'm sure if they have the technology to travel even in our solar system, they may be coming from really far away.
Or they've been based in this solar system on the moon and the Earth for millions of years. And did you ever hear anybody say that there were standing up reptilians on the moon that were photographed by NASA?
No, I never heard that. But that doesn't mean it's not true. it is pretty unbelievable, some of the stuff that's being covered up. Now, I did know some of the techs that worked in the lab that were part of the cover-up. And what they told me, this is the story they gave them on the lab. We were in Cold War with Russia, I believe it was, and that these objects, they don't know what they are, but please keep these things secret because it could be secret weaponry from Russia. So please don't talk about these objects that are coming up on the photographs. Now, some of the people weren't that gullible, and some of them pretty much let me know they knew they were UFOs, but all of them couldn't talk about it, and they were very afraid to talk about it.
Did you ask anybody straight, are we talking about aliens, ETs, that are not human?
Well, all I can say is they're talking about craft that are not from around here. They're not ours. I'm saying I'm sure they're extraterrestrial, because if we took years to go to the moon with rockets and they're zipping around, going back and forth around in space to the moon and God only knows where else, it's got to be advanced technology that we don't have yet.
After Apollo 11, were there any more rumors about silver disks being seen by astronauts or anything else, front or back or poles or anything on the moon?
Yeah, a lot of them. A lot of them had experiences seeing things, and they were told that they couldn't talk about it.
You yourself never used any kind of a paintbrush or airbrush to affect photographs, to edit them out yourself. But you knew of two different people that you've described, one changing a negative and getting a craft out of a lunar image. The other person, it was Earth, and it was a white UFO casting a shadow.
And this craft, or this circle, disc, was really close to the top of the trees, I'd say, because it was casting a shadow at the same angle as the trees were. So I would say that this craft was really close to the ground, out of radar reach.
Mm-hmm.
I was told the pictures were going to be airbrushed, and I saw the negative being covered up. His picture was definitely, the one that he sent me a copy of, was being touched up at NASA in the photo lab. I don't know if it was a craft, but it looked like a bar coming up from a round bell-shaped thing. So it's what I saw being covered up.
Great story, Linda.
Well, I hope that you and everybody listening can go to my Earth Files headlines page where I have a cropped close-up on this object that was created by a fellow at Arizona State University. And this is what Donna Hare has identified. Tomorrow, I'll also have a large in-depth report on this with some more material that I will be getting tomorrow. That's why the delay in the full report. But I did place this on headlines because I wanted to point out to you, if you can look at this, the shape is like butterfly wings.
It does look like butterfly wings.
Yeah.
The
big important thing is, underneath each wing, look at that light that is there. There's clearly photon energy is being directed from each, we'll call them wing, down onto the ground. Do you see those two patches of
light? Is it a little drone, maybe?
Well, what we don't know is size, but this is definitely something that appears to be artificial. It's casting light. It's doing something. And then if you consider what she is saying, that she watched a black ink be put on a negative to blot this out. When you deal with negatives, where it would be black, it would print white. Where it was white, it would print black. So either there was a decision that they wanted to simply enhance the white and cover it up with white as opposed to black so that it might be less observable of somebody who went down to look at this. And since this opposite, you have to put that in your mind, here is another thing that I've talked with Ken Johnston about, that they would actually go so far at NASA to, let's say, affect the Hasselblad negative, muck it up some way for whatever it was that they wanted to hide, then they would make what's called a positive transparency. Then this would be the opposite, and the white might go black. The whatever it was that they wanted to do, that positive transparency would then become the source of the prints, not the original Hasselblad negatives. It would be the positive transparency. And those prints, you would never be able to tell what had happened. You would not know. It was like Ken being so shocked with Thornton Page that he had seen the object in the crater, and that what they had done so skillfully was to create a film that would run, and he went through that process they would have had to do to make it seamless and there would be no splicing. Well, the same thing on this. And what I'm trying to do now is to find out if this is an original photo that Ken had because of his work inside of NASA, and his job was to archive photos. This may have been from the original Hasselblad, and then the prints thereafter that went out into the public might have been made from a positive transparency.
That's right.
And that is very interesting to me for people listening. If anybody knows about this, has any photos that resemble this that would be after the opaquing, I sure hope you will get in touch with me at earthfiles@earthfiles.com. All of this, George, is increasing this year of 2016 with more and more whistleblowers. And there is one more reminder that back in 1995, there was a military whistleblower even then. And he said that he saw NASA photos being altered to erase anomalies on the moon's surface, which were filmed from the lunar orbiter. And he was asked to visit an area of Langley Air Force Base, where he viewed 35-millimeter film images being processed by National Security Agency agents. He claims that he saw 35-millimeter strips of film, which were spliced together to make 18.5-inch by 11-inch mosaics of the lunar surface for release to the general public, but an officer told him that there was a moon base on the dark side of the moon and that it was their job, NSA/NASA, to erase them out.
Unbelievable. Have you ever interviewed Buzz Aldrin?
I have not talked with Buzz Aldrin. But when I was executive producer or working as on the sightings film in L.A., the pilot for that series, we interviewed half a dozen of the different astronauts, from Gordon Cooper to others.
Ed Mitchell.
And we heard about all kinds of things that they saw. excuse my voice.
Yeah, we're going to take the break. So you rest the voice up for the final hour of Conversations with Linda. I do want to talk with you about Buzz Aldrin again when we come back.